All right, let's dive in. Today, we're tackling one of those stories everybody thinks they know, David and Goliath.
Yeah.
But we're going to use Dr. Chisholm's lectures on the Book of Samuel to see if there's more to this story.
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll be surprised at the depth and theological meaning that's often missed in this story.
Okay, so to set the scene, Israelites, Philistines, not exactly getting along, right?
It's like a conflict.
And then you've got this this Goliath guy. I mean, he's not just big, he's decked out, right?
He is a walking, talking symbol of Philistine power, yeah. He's meant to intimidate.
Yeah, and all those weapons, like just the sheer spectacle. I mean, it'd be terrifying.
Oh, absolutely.
And then on top of that, he wants to settle the whole war with like a one-on-one duel.
Right, single combat, which, you know, you find that in other historical accounts too, like the story of the Egyptian hero Senui.
Oh, interesting. So this wasn't like a totally unusual thing back then.
No, it was a way to represent larger conflicts, a way to kind of cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what they thought about war and like heroes and stuff.
Absolutely. Reflects their cultural values.
So, okay. Israelites are freaking out, and then David comes along.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even supposed to be there, right?
Not at all. Just there to bring his brothers some supplies.
And then his first words, like, I don't know, they make you think.
Well, he asks about the reward for beating Goliath, so.
Yeah, like, is this guy in it for the glory?
Could be. Or maybe he's just practical. Or both, right? Which is interesting because...
Well, he follows that up with defying the armies of the living God, so it's...
Exactly. You know, it's not just a physical fight for him. It's spiritual, too.
Yeah, like he sees this whole thing on a different level.
Absolutely. And that's key to understanding David. His faith is central to who he is.
Okay, so then he says, I can beat this guy. I've taken down lions and bears, so...
Right, some might call it boasting, but...
Yeah, but he always ties it back to God, right?
It's like
he's saying... God was with me then, and God will be with me now.
Exactly. It's confidence rooted in faith.
I like that. Confidence rooted in faith. So King Saul's like, okay, here, put on my armor.
It must have looked ridiculous, like a kid in his dad's clothes.
Totally. But it shows you how Saul thinks, right?
Reliance on physical power versus something more.
And David sees that, ditches the armor, grabs his sling, like... changes the whole game plan.
Nobody expected that, right? Like, everybody's thinking hand-to-hand combat, and he's like, nope, I'm over here.
It's like Indiana Jones with a whip instead of a sword.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just grab any rocks. He picks 5 smooth stones, prepared, but also trusting in something bigger.
And let's not forget, those slings were serious weapons. Like, you can kill somebody with a well-aimed rock.
Oh, absolutely. Think about a baseball at high speed. Now imagine something denser and with more velocity.
So you have this heavily armed giant and then this shepherd with his sling. It's like, what does David see that nobody else does?
Right. It's a question that should make us all stop and think.
Okay, well, let's get into that. So Goliath comes up, starts yelling insults, even calls on his own gods.
Right. He's trying to make this a battle between deities.
Yeah, my God's bigger than your God.
Exactly. It's not just about land anymore. It's about ultimate power, whose God is in control.
And David doesn't flinch. He throws it right back at him. There's a God in Israel.
It's a challenge not just to Goliath, but to the whole Philistine belief system.
Okay, so now the tension is like, you can cut it with a knife. Goliath's coming. David's standing there.
And yeah, and this is where things get really interesting.
We'll have to pick that up in the next part of our deep dive.
Definitely a lot more to uncover.
Okay, so last time we were at this epic standoff, right?
Yeah, David and Goliath about to face off.
So what happens? Does David, like, take him out with the first shot?
Well, he hits Goliath in the forehead with the stone, brings him down, but he then finishes him off with Goliath's own sword.
Wait a minute, I thought we said slings were, like, lethal weapons?
They are, but the original Hebrew suggests this final blow was more like a...
like a finishing move?
Exactly, making sure Goliath was truly defeated.
Hmm, so it's not just about the sling, it's this whole... ritual thing.
It seems that way. And, you know, it's similar to that Egyptian story we talked about. Senui, he also uses a sword at the end.
So there's this, like, ancient code of combat that's kind of cool.
Yeah, echoes of a different time and way of thinking about warfare.
Okay, so the Israelites win big time. Everyone's got to be stoked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then King Saul asks this weird question.
Yeah, whose son is that, young man? It's a curious moment.
I mean, didn't they already meet... when David played the harp for Saul?
Well, in the Hebrew version they did, but the Greek version, the Septuagint, actually skips those earlier scenes.
So in that version, it's their first meeting. Huh.
Okay. It's one of those textual variations that makes biblical scholarship so interesting, but the thing is...
Yeah, even if they hadn't met before, wouldn't Saul still know David's dad, Jesse?
Dutch Chisholm makes a good point here. He says the Hebrew phrasing isn't really about David's name. It's more like, who's his family?
Oh, so like, who gets the reward for killing Goliath?
Exactly. Saul's probably already thinking about fulfilling that promise. Plus
what?
The Hebrew construction is similar to other passages where someone's asking about someone's lineage.
Okay, so it's not a contradiction, just a little detail that's easy to miss.
Right, but you're right. It's still weird that Saul and Abner wouldn't remember Jesse, right? I mean, yeah. They met at the royal court.
Yeah, not exactly a casual hangout.
Well, Dr. Chisholm actually tells this funny story about attending a funeral.
Okay.
And then, like, 2 weeks later, completely blanking on the deceased person's name.
Oh, I've totally done that. You know the person, but the name is just...
gone. It happens. And think about it. Jesse was probably nobody important to Saul and Abner.
Yeah, just some guy with a musically talented son.
Right. And then they're focused on the whole giant problem, easy to forget a name and all that chaos.
Makes sense. But maybe there's a deeper reason, too.
There could be. Dr. Chisholm suggests that by having Saul and Abner, like, out of the loop, it emphasizes how God is working through David.
It's like they're pawns in a bigger game they don't even understand.
Yeah.
That's a powerful way to look at it. Adds to the drama, too.
Definitely. But I still have one question nagging at me. Why does Saul keep calling David a young man or a boy? I mean, even if it's their first meeting, it seems kind of dismissive, right?
It does, but Dr. Chisholm thinks this word choice might be intentional.
How so?
Well, it highlights the contrast between David and Goliath. David, this inexperienced youth, versus this seasoned warrior.
So it's not just Saul being rude, it's to make David's victory seem even more amazing.
Exactly. Underscores that underdog element, God working through the seemingly insignificant.
I'm starting to see this story in a whole new light.
That's the power of a deep dive.
Yeah, but I get the feeling this victory is going to have some serious consequences, right? Sar can't be happy about this.
You're picking up on something there. This is where things get really complicated, but we'll have to dive into that next time.
Okay, so David takes down Goliath. It's this huge moment, right? More than just a fight. Like you said, all this deeper meaning.
Right, a victory for the Israelites. But for David, it's just the beginning of his story.
And I bet King Saul's not going to be throwing a party. Am I right?
Yeah, this is where things get really interesting. See, Saul's already been told he's lost God's favor, that his dynasty is ending.
Oof. And then this young shepherd comes along, steals all the glory. Got to sting a little.
More than a little, it triggers this deep-seated fear and jealousy. And Saul, he sees David as a rival now.
So what does he, like, try to off him right away?
It's more of a slow burn. The suspicion and paranoia starts to build.
Saul's watching him, just waiting for him to slip up.
Exactly. David's popularity grows. Saul gets more and more insecure. It's like a pot simmering on the stove eventually.
It's going to boil over.
It does. Saul tries to kill David multiple times, even sends assassins after him.
Wow. Talk about a turn of events. 1 minute you're the hero, the next you're running for your life.
And what's remarkable is that through all of this, David remains loyal to Saul.
Really? I mean, the guy's trying to kill him. You'd think he'd be a little bitter.
He has opportunities to take revenge, but he refuses. He believes it's not his place to take down God's anointed king.
That's incredible. It takes a lot of strength to choose loyalty over revenge.
It's a testament to David's character. He's not just a skilled warrior. He's a man of principle, guided by his faith.
So what can we learn from all of this? I mean, it's a pretty wild story, right?
Well, I think it shows us that outward appearances can be deceiving. Just because someone wins a big victory doesn't mean their life is suddenly easy.
Yeah. David slays this literal giant, and then he's got to deal with an even bigger giant, Saul's jealousy.
Exactly. Sometimes success brings new and even more challenging trials.
Like they say, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Right. It's a reminder that life is unpredictable, full of twists and turns.
And how we respond to those twists and turns, that's what matters.
Absolutely. Do we let fear and resentment control us, like Saul? Or do we choose loyalty, integrity, even when it's hard, like David?
Tough choices. But David shows us that it's possible, even when you're facing impossible odds.
And one last thing. I think this story reminds us to look beyond the surface. There's always more to discover if we're willing to dig a little deeper.
And that's what we're all about here, right? Digging deep, finding those hidden layers of meaning.
Exactly. And we want to leave you with one final thought. We've seen how David's victory over Goliath ultimately leads him to become king. But what if we think of Goliath as a metaphor?
A metaphor? For what?
For the challenges we face in our own lives, those giants that seem impossible to overcome.
Oh, I like that. So what are our Goliaths, and how do we find that David-like strength to face them?
That's the question we want you to take away from this deep dive. Think about it. What are you facing? And how can you tap into your own inner David?
That's powerful stuff. Thanks for taking us on this journey. It's been eye-opening.
My pleasure. Always happy to dive deep with you.
And to all our listeners, keep diving deep, keep exploring. There's always more to learn. Until next time, keep those slings loaded and those hearts brave. We'll see you on the next deep dive.